You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with Paul John Roach, Minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here's your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world. Today on our show is Kathy Kirk. She's the founder of Applied Spirituality. And Kathy has been studying and traveling for many years. And her teaching was born from her own experience, from research of life experience, but also many religions, from observation and meditation. And as we said, taking the essential wisdom of many faith traditions and using her own intuitive awareness, Kathy has created what she calls a simple and effective teaching. It's natural and simple that is practical and helpful to people, whether they are religious, spiritual, or not. Kathy has also written a couple of books. The first one, The Earthling's Quick Start Guide to Master Operating Your Unit on Earth. It's kind of a cool little title. And Well Done, The Story of Applied Spirituality, which is about owning and operating her successful restaurant, Chelsea Garden, in Solana Beach, California. And these are just a few of the many things that Kathy has accomplished in her lifetime, being involved in lots of adventures, lots of exploration, and has kind of distilled it into this awareness called Applied Spirituality. So it's a joy to welcome Kathy Kirk to our show today. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, the topic that we put on the banner for today was well-being, you know, how to enter into that state of well-being and practical steps and practical ways to do that. So let's talk a little bit about that. I want to ask the question, though, first, you know, what is well-being? What do we mean by that?
Well-being is the underlying, overriding, all-pervasive matrix of life that goes on without anybody thinking about it. It some would call it God, some would call it the universal mind. I call it well-being and many other names, but it's the thing that predominates in our world. We often get distracted and focus on all the things that appear to be miscreations, but if you consider that the sun rises every day, and at least it's supposed to, I'm not sure here in Ohio if it's out there or not, but the sun rises every day and the planet stays in its rotation on all the other planets in their perfect position, and the seasons come and go and the perennials come up and we grow from year to year. And our food gets turned into new liver cells and new brain cells without a thought from us. There is a predominance of well-being abounding that supports us and that we are an integral part of.
So we might call it divine order, too. There's a sort of a harmony and order to everything that underlines the universe. And as you say, we can guarantee that it's going to happen, right? The trees know exactly when to blossom. The birds go about their business in this kind of amazing order that's sustained by spirit or force or God, whatever we want to call it. But then we can cooperate with this, right? Because it's within us as well. It's not like it's something that's alien to us. We are essentially that well-being. And it reminds me of St. Julian of Norwich, who said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. And she's talking about the same thing, right? This idea that when we're in that awareness, we know that, you know, everything's okay.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Even in the appearance of not well-being is well-being. It's you just have to refocus where you're looking at, or look for it, or see through it, or have the eyes to see it, in which I think is the expansion of consciousness. I think it seems to me that at this point in time, there's an evolution, a natural evolution. There's like we are in this tractor beam, and there's a giant gong that's gone off all over the world that everyone is feeling the pull towards home with a capital H. And so there is a quickening going about, and many are, I would think, at this point, experiencing it as not well-being, because it's having to let go of everything that you think is true in your human mind, you know, the black box is what I call it, and move into God mind and see more through that eye the world you live in right here, right now. It's not about leaving the planet to become happy. It's about bringing more of your giant source self, well-being self, into your physical consciousness so that you can have a rip-roaring good time here.
And, you know, that is wonderful, wonderful words. And the trouble is, isn't it, is that, you know, so often when we're feeling this sense of disconnect or this sense of pain, and we're in this body that is subject to sickness, old age, and death, it's really hard to say, well, all is well, when we've got a terrible diagnosis, or when we just lost a loved one, or when a child dies. So how do we approach that? How do we remember that all is well, even when those tragedies occur? Because I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. They want to believe this, and they know it intellectually, but when tough times happen, you know, when 80 people get killed in an explosion, you know, in retaliation for the killing of Osama bin Laden, then you think, my goodness, you know, this doesn't seem like it is a world of well-being.
I want to talk about several different things you said. First of all, the intellectual understanding is very different than the knowing.
Yes.
That you are in well-being. So this is the time right now where we're being asked to take that intellectual idea and open up and bring it into a knowing within our own consciousness. So it's not so far-fetched if you look at that in a different context, let's say. Let's say you're in the fifth grade and they're trying to teach you fractions, and you have an intellectual concept of it. You've memorized it, and you can do the fractions. But as you work with it more, I speak from firsthand experience. One day the teacher brought in measuring cups, and I actually got it and took it in as a knowing, and I knew that this was so. So it went from, okay, I understand that intellectually, but I don't get it. It's moving that information from a head into the heart, into the self. It's actually expanding your awareness. It's becoming aware of something that you're not aware of right now. So think of any other thing that,
yes,
that you've learned in your life or you've become aware of, and there was a point where you weren't aware of it, and now you become aware of it. It's your growing edge. It's where you are expanding yourself. And it's not an impossibility. It's like learning anything else. It's practicing being in well-being. So I'll stop there and go back to some of the other things you said. So when you're looking at something that appears to not be well, when you understand well-being and know it as a truth, then you realize that you're a co-creator on this planet. You're not a victim. You're not a puppet in anyone's game. We are the focusers of this energy. So it is through our focus that we create every event here on Earth. There's not some external God pulling the strings that whole thing is not the way it works. And that was my journey of writing this giant opus of applied spirituality. I come from a medical background. I come from, my dad's an engineer. I was in pre-med. So I looked at, when I hit the wall in my own life, I said, whatever organizes this world, it's got to include everything in it. Everything. So even the events that appear to be miscreations to us are moving in perfect ordinance with what we have focused on and created ourselves. It's a free space here. Free will reigns, and we are the focuser. So if we focus through the black box of limitation, which is the human mind, of lack, of fear, of not enough, of them versus us, of all the human mind fearful things, we will create more of that, and that is proof positive in the world. We just look out. Now, if you look through the mind of source of well-being, if you have grown yourself into that, then none of those things are going to come nigh your dwelling place. It's not going to be part of your experience. But having said all of that, this is a planet of variety. This is a planet of duality. It is meant to be that way because we're the leading edge of creation. We are like the farthest outpost. And without the contrast of things that we do not like, we could not instantly desire what we want next, which is always more good, more joy, more freedom, whatever.
Yes.
So that's how God itself expands. That's, we are that. We are the same non-physical energy in physical bodies that we were before we got here. We are part of all that is that created this game. And when I think when we go home, we high-five each other, and we say, wow, you were really a great terrorist. Well done. you were really a great victim. So I have a whole different view of what goes on here. I've seen many demonstrations in my life looking as a interested, objective, let's say, observer. When I lived in Southern California, in the backcountry of San Diego, we went through many giant fires, the first of which was the Cedar Fire in 2003 in October. And there was, it was literally, in my experience, it was a magical event. And it happened so fast, and very quickly nobody had phone or radio. This is the backcountry. We didn't have much by way of utilities to begin with. You know, they were sort of not what people are used to in the cities anyway. Right. And so very quickly, all the communications went down. And by virtue of the nature of the people that live in the backcountry, you know, they're more self-reliant, they're more self-sufficient, they're more creative, they're not relying on city services. We're talking now in a mindset, in everything that goes on with us, goes on in and through our minds. So I watched this. So this fire raged for 5 days, and at the end there were about 3,000 homes that got destroyed in over 300,000 acres. Except for the first night, which it happened in the middle of the night, so no one actually knew that it was happening, and the winds were gusting at like 115 miles an hour. There were, I think, a few deaths the first night, but after that, nothing. And everybody moved elegantly. Everybody moved by their intuition, by their guidance. There wasn't a horse that was lost. There wasn't, natural creatures, I'm sure, left the planet. But there was such an elegance because everybody just moved, and no one was like in this terror or in this fear. They elegantly moved like the creatures of the forest. They moved to what felt better. So when I came back, everything on my property was burnt except my home. And I walked around. It was like you could walk through. It was like you were on the moon. In any direction you looked, it was just a moonscape. And I walked through different neighborhoods and looked at how could somebody's house go down and the garage next door didn't, and it looked like chaos or it looked like random. But if you didn't understand how energy worked and how people's intentions and desires and their focus were, for example, the nature of the person who lived there, then you would think it was random. But once you understood the people who lived there and their fear-based or love-based thoughts, if they focused more in well-being as opposed to focusing in fear and lack, then it all sort of sorted itself out, and you could see the elegance in it and that it actually works that way. So you have to move your own consciousness, because you're creating every minute of your experience, and that's the big leap that we as humans, Homo erectus, is doing right now on planet Earth. We're moving to the next level.
And, you know, that resonates with experiences, you know, in concentration camps, too, I think. You know, Viktor Frankl talks about this in his books.
Yep.
You know, the idea that those that lose meaning die, but those that, whatever the meaning is, it's not really important what the meaning is. You know, as long as they feel there is meaning, it could be, in his case, meaning in a crust of bread or something, as long as that still remained, then the will to live was there, and they often survived where others who'd lost all sense of meaning, you know, died. So, again, not what they did to you, but how you responded to it, right?
I think that's the case of it. You know, I know I can only recount from my unit. My unit is the only way I can report my experience. But I know the night before the fire, I was driving home. I had just had a massage, so I had a lot of energy work. And so I was, you know, absolutely in well-being. And when I got to the little post office to turn onto my road, there was a fire truck, and I had a picture that downloaded into my head in that nanosecond, and I looked at the clock on my dashboard. It said 7/11, which was my birthday, which is always a, like, listen up sort of thing. And the picture download that came in one fell swoop was, it's going to be big, it's going to last a long time, and go as far east as you can, and wait.
Wow.
Well.
Wow. All
I right, knew that.
That's amazing. Hold that thought, because we have to go to the break. I'm talking with Kathy Kirk. We're talking about applied spirituality, and talking about applied, that's a great example of that. Let's listen to these messages from Unity, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes. Join us then.
Unity Online Radio is affiliated with Unity, a nonprofit organization specializing in prayer, publishing, and spiritual education. If you enjoy our programming and would like to support this ministry, go to www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now to make a contribution. You can make a one-time or recurring monthly donation. Thank you.
Join Unity on a year-long journey to live your abundant life. Throughout the year, Unity will be providing you with a variety of free online resources to support you in living your abundant life. Knowing that living an abundant life begins with an openness to God, we affirm, I am centered in spirit, eager to discover all I can do and be. I am centered in spirit, eager to discover all I can do and be. Embrace your abundant life now. Go to www.unity.org and click on the Abundant Living Resource Center. and tune in each Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time for Sacred Abundance with me, Reverend Robin Ryder, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Oprah Winfrey says that Eric Butterworth's book, Discover the Power Within You, changed her perspective on life and religion. Maya Angelou quotes Emily Cady's Lessons in Truth as she recalls her own spiritual awakening. What do these books have in common? They are Unity classics. Join Reverend Laura Beth Gilbreth, Minister of Unity Transformation, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, for Hooked on Classics, exploring Unity's classic books. Each month, you'll be able to follow along and contribute your thoughts, questions, and ideas as we examine a different classic Unity book. From Charles and Myrtle Fillmore to Eric Butterworth, Emily Cady, and beyond, experience the foundational teachings of Unity. Hooked on Classics, exploring Unity's classic books. Thursdays on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to our show today. I'm with Kathy Kirk. We're talking about well-being, and we're also talking about the difficulties of allowing that well-being to be true for us because of our ability to respond not from a reactive place of separation, but from a place of our essential oneness. In the sense of creating our own reality. And it's tough for people to say, well, did I create that cancer? Did I create the circumstances of my life? And there's no easy answers to that, but we certainly have the ability to be creative in our response to these things. And I think we can't avoid maybe forest fires. We were talking about that in the first segment. We can't avoid some of the outrageous acts that happen, but we definitely have the ability to respond in creative ways to them. And we've all had experiences, I think, of personal experiences and understanding from others of creative ways of dealing with something with a courageous attitude, and this is all part of applied spirituality, as Kathy calls it. And I like that you referenced math earlier, and of course we have pure math and applied math, and I guess pure spirituality and applied spirituality. You know, there's a difference between the intellect or the theological basis and then the actual how we apply it in our lives. Yes.
Yes, I think that the theory stays in the head, but the spirituality is the experience. It's an experiential thing. It's not something you just do on Sundays or when you're meditating. Every moment is a spiritual moment because you are non-physical energy, focused in a physical body. So, for example, if you think of an iceberg, we are now in the body, we are dual-focused beings. In other words, 95 or 96% of us is still in non-physical source energy. So that's the collective oneness. And the tip of the iceberg, then, if you imagine this iceberg flipped upside down, so the 96% rises up into infinity. That's who we really are, and then that's our non-physical focus, and then our physically focused part is the tip, which is our body mind walking around on planet Earth. And what we're doing is erasing the separation between the non-physical and the physical right now. So it's just growing ourselves into who we really are, in not living out from just the mind, the black box of the human mind. So, and the other thing I wanted to say, this is a natural thing. We are natural creatures, just like the trees and the critters in the forest. We are natural creatures. We have forgotten that we are. But we are a species just like any other species on the planet. So we are included in this elegance. We are naturally in the tractor beam of well-being if we would allow ourselves to keep reaching for what feels better. If you look at a bird who's pecking at worms, and I'm looking at a robin right now pecking at a worm, and if I were to send my cat out there and he approached, that bird would flee and go to where it felt better. But we think, because we have human beliefs in our head, that we have to suffer in order to, I don't know why, but we have these beliefs that yes. it has to be hard and no pain, no gain, but if we just naturally reached for our good and said, I'm sorry, it doesn't feel good here, I'm leaving, and we just moved on and didn't yammer on about that moment that made us feel bad, we would continually move more into our good. But we stay stuck in the incident, the contrast, that caused us to desire more and better. And the minute we desired that more and that better situation, no matter what it was, no matter if it was consciously thought or not consciously thought, if it was a cellular request, you mentioned dreaded diseases. Our cells are constantly asking for well-being, but they're blocked from well-being by the crap that's in the black box in the mind that believes that this is a death sentence, or believes that this is a fatal disease, or believes that this can't be reversed. Everything can be reversed. Everything can be made new. I mean, all those scriptures can be found everywhere in the Bible. It's all there, but you have to remove your powerful focus from what is and put it on what is desired. So you can't keep talking about it. You can't keep, you know, blogging about it. And you can't be in chat rooms about it. And you know, I was at the bakery this
morning.
Oh, come
on, Kathy. Don't burst our bubble here in cyberspace. I agree with you totally. I was just being facetious, but let me intersperse something here though, because you mentioned, you know, leave, get away from that, and I think I know what you're saying, but I think there's a sense in which you can't leave. You know that for instance, Jesus was nailed to the cross. The Buddha remained under the Bodhi tree until he became awakened. So it's not about leaving physically. Sometimes you have to be in the same family, right? You have to be in that workplace. You can't just leave and find a better one. But what I'm hearing you saying is you leave in the sense you're not staying in the same consciousness there. You're bringing a new awareness to that situation, just as Jesus did on the cross. You know, he brought forgiveness, and therefore that led to resurrection. And the Buddha was able to face every demon that came at him in a loving way, and therefore became enlightened. So it's not about escaping here. It's about leaving the conditions, or the black box, as you put it, but while still being present to what is. I think this is an important point.
I think, I'm going to address it on a couple different levels. Number one, if somebody's like yammering at you at work and it doesn't feel good to you, and you aren't really able to change your focus, you don't have the skill yet, the mastery in your mind to see through that, your first step might be to say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And get out of there. Because that's the best you can do at that moment. This is all evolutionary work. So when you begin this journey of loving yourself enough and reaching for your good, sometimes that's the very best you can do at the moment.
Best you can do at the time, right? Because you can't live in the bathroom. I mean, some people want to hang out in there all the time, you know. I don't want to come out. I don't want to face life.
But you might just teach yourself in that one act that you could treat yourself better and that you deserve better. And so And then maybe if you keep doing the work, you find words to say something in a deeper way, and then you start expanding your own consciousness. That's the contrasting event that makes you reach for more and better. And, of course, you have to suit up for your own show and bring that into an action. So everyone starts where they start. For people who are looking, who are maybe practicing deliberate focus or finding how to stay connected, unconditional love means that conditions don't have to change in order for me to feel good.
Yes, very good. So excellent.
If you're looking at a loved one who's in the hospital and let's say the appearance is that they're very sick and perhaps passing, does it serve anyone for you to go in and be out of alignment with them in that place where it doesn't feel good? I mean, if I'm falling off a cliff, I want to reach for the rope where somebody's still standing firmly in well-being.
Yes.
I don't want somebody who's wobbly and then they come down into the muck with me.
Yeah.
This is where you hold the space. You hold the vibration. One connected to source is, it's like David and Goliath. One connected to source is unbeatable. There is no other. That's the ultimate of fulfillment. That's the ultimate of power. It's the ultimate of influence.
Right.
So you can go into any situation connected, and you can shift that situation, and you can shift physical events by being connected to source. You spoke about Jesus on the cross. I don't think anybody can know what he was thinking or what his journey was about. So we can ask him, and we can, and I think that he could deliver, he could and would, his consciousness is certainly available to all of us, but I wouldn't rely on what is written for what I think is true. I would ask for it directly from the horse's mouth, because everything in consciousness is available to us if we ask and allow it in.
Well, I think we've all in varying degrees been nailed to the cross somewhere along the line. You know, we've all felt like there was nowhere to go. Everything seemed hopeless. And yet in the midst of that, sometimes there's been that awareness that's come forth that says, yeah, but this isn't the reality of, this isn't the whole of me. You know, there's more. And they're wonderful breakthrough moments, aren't they? And I can imagine, like you say, we can't know exactly, but I can see that in that moment of extremity, you know, that there was also a moment of an amazing release. And I think, of course, we have to embrace paradox on the spiritual path, don't we? Because we're called to stand firm and yet go with the flow, you know, and those are two seemingly contradictory things, and yet they're both relevant to what we're talking about. You know, we have to stand firm in the source, but be willing to be incredibly flexible and giving, expansive, you know, within that context too. So it's hard to wrap your intellectual head around these things, as you've mentioned earlier. You know, they have to be experienced.
I know. I think that you have to. I think the thing is that most people stay stuck in the physical drama, and they don't realize that in the moment of that physical drama, however big it is, a 2x2 or a 12x12, or, but that's the moment of the greatest possibility for you to realize what else is present here, that you are not alone. And if you stay in the resistance of the moment and you're resisting in fear or whatever, the panic or doubt or whatever that negative emotion is, if you can't breathe and open yourself and allow the more of you to come in, then you will stay in that pattern, and that pattern will get bigger until you finally yell uncle, and you will either release into well-being at your death, in which case you end up back in well-being anyway, or you relax and allow yourself into the stream of life, capital L, and all of a sudden it starts downloading to you what's really going on, and you can see things you couldn't see when your eyes were clouded, when you were looking through the black box.
Yes.
It's experiential, and you have to trust it. And that's the ordinary hero's journey. That's the journey in the physical. You know, Joseph Campbell talked about it in his study of myth, and he saw these patterns. And every single one, Jesus' life is an epic story of the ordinary hero's story. The Buddha as well. I mean, when he finally gave up and sat down and said, "I give up," he got it.
Yes.
He quit pushing against it. He quit looking at what was wrong, and he finally ran up the white flag and said, "I give up." And then it downloaded to him. The resistance, he stopped being tight, and he opened up. So when you think about being in that state of resistance, that's why it affects your biology. That's why we are ill. That's why it all is an organic system. So it's sort of like when you're tight, you miscreate, and when you're open, you create.
Well, you know, I've got a puppy dog that we've had for about a year. He's about a year and a half old now, and case in point here of the flexibility of that creature. You know, his grace, his elegance, his beauty, and his annoyingness as well sometimes because he's so full of energy. But talk about being in harmony with his own body and being. You know, it's a wonderful thing to watch because you see how beautifully he's been made by God or by Spirit, you know, and that evolutionary process. And that we're all capable of that same kind of being present in that moment, you know, of total flexibility and joy, really. And his natural nature, it seems, is joy. And I would say that is our birthright too, isn't it? To be joy-filled creatures. And if we're not living it from that, we're somehow missing out on what the Spirit wants to give us. Yes.
Our essential nature, our 96% of us, is joy and freedom.
Yes.
That's who we are. That's why nobody wants to be backed into a corner, and that's why we all laugh, and that's why children are so easy to play, and puppies and things like that. I mean, they don't have a highly developed black box.
Yes, very good. All right, I'm with Kathy Kirk. We're talking about some deep subjects here around well-being and the fact that we are all inherently beings of wellness and wholeness and freedom and order, and that when we move into that awareness, then life becomes so much more wonderful. Let's listen to these messages from Unity. Come back and join us for the third segment. We'll talk about 10 key principles.
If you've ever wondered how a specific Bible verse might be interpreted metaphysically, then Interpret This is for you. In Interpret This, Unity Minister Reverend Ed Townley answers your questions about the Bible and how to apply its verses to your life with passion, depth, and spiritual insight. To submit a question or to enjoy any of his numerous metaphysical interpretations, visit unity.org and click on the Interpret This box.
The Unity message is universal, uniting, empowering, and transformational. Carrying this message to the world with the power of music and song are scores of singers and songwriters who dedicate their extraordinary gifts to helping heal the world and spread the message of unity and oneness. These are the messengers of unity.
We salute the messengers of unity. The voices of the one voice of all humanity. Heroes with weapons of melody and rhyme, waging peace one song at a time.
To Tune in to Pazapalooza, Music That Matters, with host Richard McDeasy to hear the music and the artists who are changing the world, one song at a time. Fridays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready for the next steps on your spiritual path? If you are, you won't want to miss the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Reverend Ellen Grace O'Brien from the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose, California. Essential insights and practices from the ancient yoga science of self-realization show us how to live healthier, happier, more balanced lives. The benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and realize your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Reverend Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Now back to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to our show today. I'm with Kathy Kirk. We're talking about well-being. Some of her principles here we've already discussed. The idea that we are dual beings, in a sense, we're both human and divine, but the essence of us, of course, is divine. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and to remember that we have non-physical elements that are actually the most potent parts of who we are. And when we spend more time in that awareness and awakening to that awareness, to the fact that we are in charge, actually, and that we create our own reality, not just in a glib way, because that's become a bit of a cliche, but in an actual God-directed way, then we can expand into so much more of who we are, and that experience of expansiveness changes everything. And the truth also that, and we say this a lot in Unity, there's only one of us here. We know we're not alone because we are one with the one, and we are one with everyone. So all is well. And I know a key element to this teaching, Kathy, is the idea that this is a natural thing, right? That essentially all is well, that there's nothing wrong. The Zen teachings and the teachings of India, the Advaita teachings of non-duality, kind of teach the same thing. You know, the Zen masters say, what in this moment is missing? You know, in this very moment, you have everything you need. It's only in thoughts of the past and worries about the future that we think that there's something missing. But in this very moment, there's the fullness of our life, of our existence, of our presence. And that's a very natural thing. If we just stay in that awareness, then the universe conforms to that beauty, yes, to that joy.
Yes, I think that would be the thing I would like people to begin cultivating in their minds deliberately. You have to become scrupulous about how you're feeling. Your guidance system, you came in with it, which is why I wrote the Earthlings Quick Start Guide, because it came directly out of my own experience. I felt like I'd been plopped on this planet without my walkie-talkie to the mothership. So it's like, I can't hear you. I know you're there, but I can't hear you. And that sort of spawned the desire to figure out how we're connected and how do we know. Well, you're always knowing. You always know things. But you talk yourself out of them. So the first thing you know, your first impression, your first thought, the fleeting thing that goes through your first feeling is the correct one. And then the black box starts yelling all the rational, logical, fear-based reasons why you shouldn't believe what you just thought. But you always knew. And so you pay attention to your emotions. That's how you are directly linked into the cosmos. So a good feeling, a good thought is you're connected, you're in the neighborhood. A negative emotion is telling you of the gap, and the gap is the gap between your human mind and your God mind, your human self and your God self. and the bigger the like despair or helplessness or powerlessness is like the antithesis of who you are. That's why it feels so bad, because it's an absolute lie. So if you have a negative feeling, don't think it's about the drama in front of you. It's about your relationship with your true self. That's what your negative emotion is teaching you. It's saying, okay, look, you're depressed today. So what does that tell you? It tells you that your God self isn't buying into what your human self is thinking. So it's always the measure of the gaposis between your God mind and your human mind. And if it's negative, it's a lie. What you're thinking is a lie. So, I'm not enough, that's a lie. I'm too fat, that's a lie. I'm broke, that's a lie. I can't find a new job, that's a lie. In other words, all of those things are you're believing in your human mind, but your God mind knows that you are a powerful creator, and that if you would clear the black box, you would know that you could direct yourself to the very next healing thing or the new job or a pile of money or whatever it is you need, you think you need, you know. The other thing is there's nothing broken on this earth. There's nothing to fix. This planet, according to the Urantia book, I don't know if any of your listeners or if you've read that, but the Urantia book says that the planet is 9 billion years old. Science says it's 4.5 billion years old. Well, at either number, it's a huge number, which says that there's a longevity of time, that there's an evolutionary process that is very natural, and that process is our reaching for more good and stepping into the shoes of that which we have created in consciousness, and then we create it here on the earth. That yes. is the evolutionary process. So you are built with that system within you. So when somebody doesn't feel good to you or a situation doesn't feel good to you and you want more and you begin dreaming of more, that is a natural expansion so that you move into that and you learn that you are elegantly guided from within all the time. The birds find their food. I mean, you know, they don't watch CNN to find out that, you know, Jane Smith just filled her bird feeder. They wake up, they're hungry, and they are guided to their food because they've asked, it's answered. They're guided to it. They follow what feels good to them. If you study nature, you are just as natural a creature as they are. So it's built into you. You came in with it. No parts missing. So you have to leave off self-doubt. You have to oftentimes go the other way from the pack, because the pack is still working in human mind in fear. So if you are literally moving in another direction from the rest of the humanoids, you're probably following what feels correct to you, and you're on the trail of your own expansion.
Right. Now, my late wife used to say, don't buy into it, and by which she meant, you know, pretty much anything. You know, you don't have to buy into it. It's a construct. Just rely on your natural inner awareness and intuitive knowledge. I love that image. You know, you don't have to go to CNN or whatever to find out, you know, who constructed the bird's, you know, table or whatever. You know, the bird naturally knows. Yeah, it trusts itself. That doesn't mean you can't watch the news, but it means you watch it with a different awareness, right? You don't watch it as if it's the ultimate reality. You see it for what it is, you know, another lens by which we view reality, but not reality itself. I don't think we have to give things up, but we have to be, like you said, scrupulous. So was John Lennon right when he said that God is a concept by which we measure our pain? That sounds very much like what we're talking about here, right? That that's the gap. So wherever the gap is, we have an opportunity, don't we, to close it? It's a wonderful ability that we're being given here, rather than a problem. So in a way, all the terrible things that happen to us even though they seem to be terrible at the time, are actually gifts, right?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Osama bin Laden was one of the greatest gifts that the planet could have. I mean, he's one of us, you know. He's back in well-being. And
yes,
he did an extraordinary job of creating contrast for us to reach for what? We want to reach for more harmony. We want to feel safe. We want to feel good. What America has done since 9/11 is contract in fear. And so what have we created in these 10 years? We've created a deep recession. We've created all kinds of things that would naturally follow a fear-based reaction. And imagine, what would the world look like today if at the point of 9/11, Americans had said, how did we co-create this, instead of playing the role of the victim?
Right. And I think, you know, there are some in our country who are asking those questions, and not just, you know, folks like us, but people who are in, you know, political power, you know, are going a little deeper with this and seeing, you know, how do we take full total responsibility here rather than get into the them and us. And as long as we do that, I think that's a progressive way of thinking, because there are many forces out there that are totally reactive, agreed, and not really pushing us forward, but more, you know, keeping this damaged way of looking at life going, which obviously is not working. We're going towards the end of the show, but I want to capture that quote that you gave to us earlier, because I thought that's one of the best things that's been said here about unconditional love. Can you just repeat what you said? Unconditional love is what?
Unconditional love means that conditions don't have to change in order for me to feel good.
It, that's so true and so powerful, isn't it? Because so often we feel like, you know, if my ship would just come in, if I could work it all out, if I could just win the lottery, then I'd be happy, and then I'd be more loving, and, you know, all would be well. But you're turning this on its head and saying that the conditions themselves have no power except the power that we give them, right?
Right. I mean, the condition is the thing that reminds you to come back and stay centered in who you are and reach for your conscious oneness.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the message that Jesus came to say, and so did Buddha and a zillion other people. And it's only by your own practice, literally practice and scrupulous focus. Where are you putting your focus? And
yes,
Viktor Frankl proved, you know, they couldn't own him, and he was in one of the worst conditions in all of history. So we have nothing near those kinds of conditions, but
right,
we are sovereign. We are focusers of energy that creates worlds and universes.
If we want to find out more about you, Kathy, where would people go?
Applied, APPLIED, spirituality.com. And I have a new website up now called OrdinaryHeroesJourney.com.
Cool.
And,
all right.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, and we're grateful for your presence with us on the show. Next week, folks, renowned author, sage, and activist Matthew Fox is here, and he's going to discuss his new book, Christian Mystics, 365 Readings and Meditations, so that should be exciting. Once again, thanks to Kathy for being with us, and thanks to you for listening. Join us next week, and have a good one. All right.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world, and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
The Unity message is universal, uniting, empowering, and transformational. Carrying this message to the world with the power of music and song are scores of singers and songwriters who dedicate their extraordinary gifts to helping heal the world and spread the message of unity and oneness. These are the messengers of unity.
We salute the messengers of unity, the voices of the one voice of all humanity. Heroes with weapons of melody and rhyme, waging peace, one song at a time.
Tune in to Pazapalooza, Music That Matters, with host Richard McDeasy, to hear the music and the artists who are changing the world, one song at a time. Fridays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Inspiration only takes a moment. We invite you to consider these words from Unity author Charles Roth. Live deeply in the present moment. If you are going to work on the premise that real energy, real excitement, that feeling of being fully and enthusiastically alive comes from a source within you, then it follows that you have to spend some time getting acquainted, being at home in those far reaches of inner space. Peace is power, for out of stillness, strength is born, and out of inner harmony, productivity flourishes. Rest in that inner peace.
This meditative moment is brought to you by Unity.
Universe responding. Universe responding.
How do you really transform that thought you've held in your mind into a reality in your life? How do you work in partnership with God to co-create the life that you've always imagined? One way is through the Universe Responding Spiritual Model for Life. Each week, Valerie Crabtree will share how to use the universe responding elements and principles to co-create your life through continuous communication with your higher power. She'll answer your questions using this practical, understandable concept, and your life will change. Listen to Universe Responding on Monday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Someone once said that inspiration feeds the soul. Hi, I'm Jamie Sanders, host of Spirituality Today here on the Unity FM radio network. Each week, we bring you pure inspiration, empowerment, and insight. Join us as we talk with best-selling authors, celebrities, and some of the most dynamic teachers in new thought and motivation in the world today. Spirituality Today is Unity FM's spiritual book club and a whole lot more. Be sure to listen in and open up to the wonder and beauty of all that spirit is in and through you. Spirituality Today with Jamie Sanders every Wednesday at noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Unity FM.